they are gathered. In my name, I'll be with them. Although you are scattered, I'm drawing you back to love you again. So come unto me, my child, and I'll give you peace. Then you will be B'nai Shalom. B'nai Shalom. Children of peace. B'nai Shalom. On Yeshua we'll feast. B'nai Shalom. Children of peace, B'nai Shalom, through Yeshua will be B'nai Shalom. Love one another as you have seen me. Sister, my brother, do as I command you, and come unto me, my child, and I'll give you peace. Then you will be B'nai Shalom. Yeshua will feast. B'nai Shalom. Children of peace. B'nai Shalom. Through Yeshua will be B'nai Shalom. Children of
blessed be the name of Yahweh and Shabbat Shalom. Yes, indeed, Shabbat Shalom to all of you out there. Praise Yahweh. It is officially Yom Teruah, or Feast of Trumpets. Praise Yahweh. And that means we've got the shofar out. And for those of you wondering whether or not there is a new moon tonight, if you happen to have clouds in your area, I do have pictures, which we've taken here from the pasture on our property here in the Ozarks of Southern Missouri. And it is official. We do have a new moon here. Another picture there. Praise Yahweh. And then another picture right here. That's my favorite. And then I got a real close-up one right here. But did not need corrective vision or optical aid to see the moon. It was quite visible. As you can see, this is about what it looked like. Let's see, about right like, where were we? There we go. That's about what it looked like right there from my point of view. And so there you go. Happy Yom Teruah. Praise Yahweh. And beautiful night it was here in the Ozarks, Southern Missouri. Very clear skies, able to see everything very well. And it kind of looks like it's shaped like a shofar, doesn't it? I kind of see the shofar shape there in the kind of adjust my microphone here. In the new moon, I see it. And just in case you don't, as you can kind of see this right here, it's got that little curve to it. That's Yahweh's sign saying, blow the shofar. So, I'm going to blow the shofar, but I want to wait for a partner. That means I'd like somebody to call in and share some music with us. And our telephone number, 417-683-3575, and toll free, 866-435-4924. And you can also call in using Skype ID, LAI.com. And tonight is a memorial blowing of trumpets. That's what the scriptures say. And the word teruah, from which we get trumpets, also means shouting. And so if you don't have any kind of a shofar like I've got here, you could always shout hallelujah. Wake your neighbors up if you need to. With shouts of of hallelujah. Now, don't do it too late at night. But praise Yahweh. We're excited. We saw the new moon, and I gave a big, long shout of a hallelujah. And my daughter did. Leanna did, too. Me and her went up there on the hill. And, yeah, very nice night. Very, very warm day today, actually. Summer does not want to go away, but here we are. Praise Yahweh. It is officially a holy day. This is a day of rest. Accept that which you may need to prepare food. He says that only may be prepared by you. So if you have some kind of work to do in order to make a meal, my understanding is that you can. Some people don't agree, but most people agree with me on that. And this is a feast day Sabbath, so have a feast. Enjoy the shouting of hallelujah and blowing of trumpets, because this is a day that represents a momentous event in history. We can actually celebrate something that hasn't yet happened yet, and that's the Messiah coming back at the last trump. Praise Yahweh. And I do believe we have Brother Richard here on the line. Shabbat shalom, brother.
Shabbat shalom. Praise Yahweh.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Awesome. Hallelujah.
Sound like somebody else there with you. Is that Brother Kui?
That's right. Hallelujah. All right.
Hallelujah.
We can't wait to see you, brother.
Can't wait to see you too, brother.
Hallelujah. It's going to be a great Feast of Tabernacles. And I'm having a little trouble with my Skype program. It's not wanting to let me drag the window. It seems like whenever Microsoft does something new, we have problems. So let me sign out and have you call right back in, or I'll call you right back.
All right.
All right. So, yeah, it just will not do anything. It's not responding to anything. So that one of the Microsoft quirks I find is, they forced me to update, and then I didn't want to update because usually you find something wrong with it. And sure enough, I had to update whether I wanted to or not, and something's wrong. You ever had that? That's why I don't want Windows 10. I'll probably end up with something messing up somewhere. But I'm going to reload my Skype here, and hopefully we'll be able to drag our window. It does not want me to pick up and drag the window. That's the problem. So I can't move it to the correct screen for me to do anything. In fact, it's not letting me click anything in the program. It's just being rebellious. I wonder if Yahweh gets this frustrated with us. You know, we're not even doing what he asks us to do sometimes. All right. Maybe that was the lesson and everything, because I got it to work. So, Brother Richard in East Coast, and he's going to probably share some music with us, but first, brother, we've got to do the most important thing there is to do this evening, and that is blow the shofar. Are you ready?
Come on.
Hallelujah.
Praise Yahweh. Hallelujah.
Blessed be Yahweh. And I guess that means you also have some music for us, and it's probably something to do with the new moon day. Is that right?
Some music for Yahweh to praise Yahweh. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
On this new day, I sing to you, offering of praise, meditating in your word. On this new day, on this new day, look up. Look up, it's the new moon. Look up, your redemption draws me near. Look up, it's the new moon. Look up, your redemption draws me near. On this new day, I bow before your throne. On this new day, I sing to you, offering a praise, meditating in your word. On this new day, on this new day, look up, it's the new moon. Look up, your redemption draws near. Look up, it's the new moon. Look up, your redemption draws near. On this new day, I bow to you on this new day. On this new day,
praise Yahweh.
Hallelujah.
Beautiful song.
Hallelujah. All right, guess we'll pick another one here. I really like this one for for New Moon Day, Bow Before Your Throne. I know I did this one before, but I want to do it again. Hope that's okay.
Absolutely.
All right. All right. There we go, that'll work. All right.
We bow before your throne. We worship you alone. We bow at your feet. Let us pray for eternity. Bow for your throne. We worship you. Let us worship eternity. Bow
Same to you, brother. Praise Yahweh and Shabbat Shalom to all of you. Hallelujah. And love to have everybody up this call in as well. I know this is kind of late broadcast for those on the East Coast, so I want to be sensitive to that. And feel free to comment, call in, and share a shofar blast with us. And love to have you call in and do that. And I want to go ahead and give some other locations where the new moon has been seen, and we do expect it to be seen pretty much all over the world. Those of you in the UK would need pretty good atmospheric conditions in order to see it, but most everywhere else should be visible. we do want to go ahead and check my email, among other places. We got confirmed sightings and other witnesses here in Ava, Missouri, in addition to myself and my daughter, Leanna, and others. Also, Central Florida, George in Central Florida, reports that the new moon was seen there. And check some other locations. Just 1 minute. We have confirmed sightings in Margate, Florida, Fulton, Missouri, Albuquerque, New Mexico, Danbury, North Carolina, Amarillo, Texas, Hampton, Virginia, Washington, D.C., and Green Bay, Wisconsin. And then, where else? Also, we've got over 30 confirmed sightings in Holt Summit, Missouri, Toledo, Ohio, Tonawanda, New York, South Carolina, Shermansdale, PA, Maryville, Indiana, Jim and Patricia Earls in Coweta, Oklahoma, Gary Wilson, Richardson, Texas, Mike and Sandra Daly, Plattsmith, New England. And where else? Also seen in Australia, South Africa, Namibia, Virginia, Florida, Indiana, Ohio, Kentucky, Missouri, Mississippi, Texas, Oklahoma, Iowa. And many of you are wondering about Israel as well. I do expect them to see it. According to the visibility charts, I would anticipate them being able to see the new moon. And just 1 minute, I will confirm that. Yes, we do have a confirmed sighting in Jerusalem. So we are good there. Praise Yahweh. And see if I can get a good glimpse of it. Actually, I have a picture of it here. And it's very difficult to see because of the wide-angle lens. But I will go ahead and put it up on the screen if I can get it there. I'll go ahead and show you some other photos. This is the one in Israel. You can't quite see it, but it's just above the horizon in the center. You'll see just a tiniest little dot. And maybe I can just zoom it in for everybody to look at. But it's just the smallest, tiniest little dot. Move it over here. But I'll zoom it way in. Yeah, just above the banner there, you'll see the tiniest little example of the new moon, but it's there. So that's actually a photograph of the new moon as it was seen in Israel this evening. So, praise Yahweh. And I got some other photographs as well. This is in Ava, Missouri here. And this one is in wherever the Warnakoffs are right now. They sent that to me in a Facebook message. Bryce Canyon, Utah. Bryce Canyon, Utah. That is a photograph of the new moon there. Looks like they just were able to see it past the tree lines there. Pretty close picture. Praise Yahweh. And move that back to the center here. And what else? And these are the ones in Ava, Missouri. And got plenty of good pictures there. Praise Yahweh. So we do have confirmed sightings pretty much all over the world, even in Israel. Yeah, even Australia. And Utah and lots of good places. So, hallelujah! It is beyond a shadow of doubt, Yom Teruah. And what else does that mean? Well, that also means the feast days are settled. And Day of Atonement will be on the night of September 30th and beginning of October 1st. And that'll be after next Sabbath. Not this coming Sabbath, but the one after will be Day of Atonement. And then Feast of Tabernacles, October 6th, and then the last day will be October 13th for the last great day of the feast. So these are official feast dates 2017, and this is the most wonderful time of the year. I don't care what anybody says. It just is. There's nothing better than this time of year, and we praise Yahweh for it. All right, so we're going to... looks like I can't get anybody else to call in. But love to have you call in and blow a shofar with me here. And in case you're wondering, 617-683-3575 and 866-435-4924. And Skype ID is Eliyah.com. Hallelujah. Blessed be Yahweh. Is Yom Teruah. Day of shouting. Hallelujah. Day of shouting and day of blowing shofars. Praise Yahweh. If you got one of these, or you can actually make one out of PVC. There's a way to do that. Look it up online. And it's easy. Easy to do. But, you know, we are going to be making and actually drilling out the hole and mouthpiece and sanding down kudu horns, shofars, at the Feast of Tabernacles in Steelville, Missouri this year. Go to eliyah.com/FOT, Feast of Tabernacles, FOT. You can learn more about the festival and love to have you join us as we have about 10 days of camping and worship under the stars and fellowship and anything from horseback riding to canoeing and teaching you how to tie tassels and Hebrew classes and building a life-size replica of the tabernacle in the wilderness and learning all we can about that tabernacle and just nothing like it. Between 400 and 500 people we expect this year, and hopefully you're one of them. In the meantime, we're going to share a song from the library. And this is Psalm 125. Praise Yahweh. They cannot be moved. Isn't Yahweh awesome? I think He is. Every day of my life, I praise my Father in heaven. Hallelujah. And this is just a memorial of something that Yahweh is going to do for us. A day to remember His promises that Messiah will return at the last trump. And we're going to be talking about that here pretty shortly, as we give praise to Yahweh for a beautiful Yom Teruah. And so I want to share one more song here from the library, and then we'll go into our study portion tonight as we examine the scriptures of events that took place in the seventh month. So it is a time, can you imagine when Yahshua returns, what a time of rejoicing that's going to be? I think it's going to be pretty awesome. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be Yahweh. We want to give our love to the King, Yahshua HaMashiach, the King of Kings and Master of all. There is no comparison to His glory, and all the earth will see. The tribes of the earth will mourn as they behold Him whom they have pierced. And we praise Yahweh for this time as we remember our Savior, Yahshua HaMashiach, and all His promises. Listen, the things you're going through in the world today, that's the closest thing to hell you'll ever experience. Conversely, whatever joy that the unbeliever and lost soul has is the closest thing to eternal life and kingdom life that they'll ever experience. So, this is it for us. This is as bad as it gets. And I tell you what, it's not all that bad. And we praise Yahweh for the memorial that we have as we remember. First of all, there was a time when Israel first entered the Promised Land. And the very first city they took, Jericho. A city meaning moon. And they surrounded the city seven times, marched around it, and shouted with a teruah, with a shout, and the walls came tumbling down, and the first city was taken. And interestingly enough, Yahshua returned at that last trump with a shout of an archangel, and then we will see that the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of Yahweh and of His Messiah, Yahshua HaMashiach. Well, we're going to look here at the seventh month of Yahweh's calendar. Hallelujah. And we're excited. This is the special month. Yahweh does things in sevens, if you might notice. And if you missed the new moon tonight, I'm going to go ahead and show the picture here one final time. Of the new moon we saw here in the Ozarks of southern Missouri, actually on our back pasture here off our farm in Ava, Missouri area, Ava and Mansfield area. And so we praise Yahweh. We got some good photos of the new moon. Hallelujah. And as far as the calendar is concerned, I want to go ahead and show you the calendar physically. The calendar we produced here on our website, if you go to eliot.com/calendar, you'll see it. Just 1 minute, and I'll put it up here for us to all look at together. And here we go. Here we go. And this is the actual calendar. You can download it as a PDF file. And then what you do is you scroll down to the seventh month of the calendar. And here we go. Month of Ethanim, the night of 921. You can see most of the world, according to this visibility chart, should be able to see the new moon. And that means that tonight here, which is the 21st of September, is the beginning of Yom Teruah, or Feast of Trumpets. And you can zoom into each day here and the different things that took place in the seventh month. A lot of things going on in the seventh month biblically. And the official feast days are tonight going into tomorrow is day of Yom Teruah. It's a day of rest and blowing the shofars and shouting hallelujah. And then October 1st and the evening before, that's September 30th, will begin the Day of Atonement. That's a day of fasting and a day of rest. And then October the 5th going into the 6th will be the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles, which will be hosting a large festival in Steelville, Missouri. And the final holy day will be on the 13th of October, starting at evening of the 12th, because the Yahweh's days begin at evening. In the same way, this is the world calls seventh day of the week, or Saturday, but it actually begins the night before when the sun goes down, because Yahweh's days begin at sundown. So anyway, we're going to look at some scriptures here dealing with the seventh month of Yahweh's calendar. I want to go over these together, as it's important for us to understand. Interesting how the month got its name, and also what that means for us spiritually, and how the month got its name. So here's the example of the scripture here where the month is named in scripture. And it says in 1 Kings chapter 8, verses 1 and 2, "Now Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the chief fathers of all the children of Israel, to King Solomon in Jerusalem, that they might bring up the Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh from the city of David, which is Sion. Then, therefore, all the men of Israel assembled with King Solomon at the feast in the month of Ethanim, which is the seventh month." So the month of Ethanim, seventh month, that is the month that we are observing now. So this is the beginning of Ethanim. What does Ethanim mean? According to the Strong's Concordance or lexicon, Hebrew lexicon, the word means enduring. Ethanim, seventh month, plural of 386. But point being is, it is enduring. That means, and that the name probably got its, it says so named because permanent streams still flow. There were wet weather streams, or you know, certain streams that would flow for a long time, but then there were streams that continued to flow into the seventh month, because the summertime is a very dry season in Israel. And so if streams were still flowing water, you know, that was really special, because water was kind of scarce at that time. But likewise, we, if we are willing to be among those who are enduring, and we endure the wilderness drought, and we rely on the stream of Yahweh, the Holy Spirit, because out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water that continue to flow even in times of drought, and we are planted by the rivers of water as Yahweh's trees, then we will endure to the end, that we might be saved and reach this seventh month, this Yom Teruah, this Messiah coming at the last trump. Now, I'm not trying to predict that Messiah is going to return tonight or tomorrow. I'm not saying that, or even on Yom Teruah particularly, but it's kind of interesting that, you know, sometimes you don't know whether you're going to see the new moon that night, and it's a little bit, no one knows the day or the hour kind of a thing going on. So, but spiritually speaking, those who endure to the end will be saved. So, coming from Ethan, or Ethan, it is perpetual, constant, perennial, ever-flowing, and strong and mighty in strength, are the words that come to mind with this particular word. Scripture says, Matthew 10:22, "You will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end, whoever Ethanim, will be saved." Interesting little connection there in Scripture. And so tonight marks this memorial of trumpets, spiritually referencing the Messiah's return. In Leviticus 23:24, it says, "Speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it, and you shall offer an offering made by fire to Yahweh." Now, this part right here is a commandment for the priest. It's not a commandment for the common people. But, of course, there are no priests functioning right now, so we can do this, which is refrain from our work, and we can blow trumpets, right? If hopefully you have a trumpet. Now the word teruah, to mean the blowing of trumpets, has to do with shouting also. It can mean to shout. And so, you know, certainly we can all shout. And if you can shout hallelujah, then you're keeping the Feast of Trumpets, or Day of Shouting, or Day of Trumpets, Day of Alarm, as other scriptures say. And there are other scriptures that speak of the things we do in this month, such as the Day of Atonement. And if you continue reading there in Leviticus 23, you'll see also the Feast of Tabernacles being spoken of there as well. Now, some things that occurred in the seventh month, if you look in Genesis chapter 8, verses 1 through 3, it says, Elohim remembered Noah and every living thing and all the animals that were with him in the ark, and Elohim made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters subsided. The fountains of the deep and the windows of heaven were also stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained, and the waters receded continually from the earth. At the end of the 150 days, the waters decreased. Then the ark rested in the seventh month, the 17th day of the month. This is in the middle of the Feast of Tabernacles. It's actually the third day of the Feast of Tabernacles. It says, on the mountains of Ararat, that's when the ark rested. During the Feast of Tabernacles, the ark rested. And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. And the 10th month, the first day of the month, the tops of the mountains were seen. So it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. So, significant biblical event here when the ark just rested on the mountain. And that must have been an awesome event. You imagine Noah being in that ark and just all this time and taking care of these animals, and finally that ark just rests and on dry land. A miracle of Yahweh. They had to be shouting hallelujah, huh? I think they probably were. So, all right. And, of course, here we read this about the feast in the month of Ethanim. It says, all the men of Israel, King Solomon, the feast in the month of Ethanim, which is the seventh month. And so all the elders of Israel came, and the priests took up the ark. Then they brought up the ark of Yahweh, the tabernacle of meeting, and all the holy furnishings that were in the tabernacle. The priests and the Levites brought them up. Also King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel who were assembled with him were with him before the ark, sacrificing sheep and oxen that could not be counted or numbered for the multitude. Then the priests brought in the ark of the covenant of Yahweh to its place, to the inner sanctuary of the temple, to the most holy place under the wings of the cherubim. For the cherubim spread their two wings over the place of the ark, and the cherubim overshadowed the ark and its poles. The poles extended so that the ends of the poles could be seen from the holy place in the inner front of the inner sanctuary, but they could not be seen from outside. And they are there to this day. Nothing was in the ark except the two tablets of stone, which Moshe put there in Horeb, when Yahweh made a covenant with the children of Israel when they came up out of the land of Egypt. And it came to pass, when the priests came out of the holy place, the cloud filled the house of Yahweh, so that the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of Yahweh filled the house of Yahweh. Then the Solomon spoke. Yahweh said he would dwell in the dark cloud. I have surely built you an exalted house, and a place for you to dwell in forever. Then the king turned around and blessed the whole assembly of Israel, while all the assembly of Israel was standing. And he said, Blessed be Yahweh Elohim of Israel, who spoke with his mouth to my father David, and with his hand has fulfilled it, saying, Since the day that I brought my people Israel out of Egypt, I have chosen no city from any tribe of Israel in which to build a house, that my name might be there, but I chose David to be over my people Israel. Now it was in the heart of my father David to build a temple for the name of Yahweh Elohim of Israel. But Yahweh said to my father David, Whereas it was in your heart to build a temple for my name, you did well that it was in your heart. Nevertheless, you shall not build the temple, but your son, who will come from your body, he shall build the temple for my name. So Yahweh has fulfilled his word which he spoke, and I have filled the position of my father David and sit on the throne of Israel, as Yahweh promised, and I have built a temple for the name of Yahweh Elohim of Israel. And there I have made a place for the ark, in which is the covenant of Yahweh which he made with our fathers when he brought them out of the land of Egypt. Then Solomon stood before the altar of Yahweh in the presence of all the assembly of Israel, and spread out his hands toward heaven, and he said, Yahweh Elohim of Yisrael, there is no Elohim in heaven above or in earth below like you, who keep your covenant and mercy with your servants who walk before you with all their hearts. You have kept what you promised your servant David my father. You have both spoken with your mouth and fulfilled it with your hand as it is this day. Therefore, Yahweh Elohim of Israel, now keep what you have promised your servant David my father, saying, you shall not fail to have a man sit before me on the throne of Israel. Only if your sons take heed to their way, that they walk before me as you have walked before me. And now I pray, O Elohim of Israel, let your word come true, which you have spoken to your servant David my father. But will Elohim indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain you, how much less this temple which I have built. Yet regard the prayer of your servant and his supplication, O Yahweh my Elohim, and listen to the cry and the prayer which your servant is praying before you this day, that your eyes may be opened toward this temple night and day, toward the place of which you said, my name shall be there, that you may hear the prayer which your servant makes toward this place. And may you hear the supplication of your servant and of your people Yisrael when they pray toward this place. Hear in heaven your dwelling place, and when you hear, forgive. And when anyone sins against his neighbor and is forced to take an oath, and comes and takes an oath before your altar in this temple, then hear in heaven and act, and judge your servants, condemning the wicked, bringing his way on his head, and justifying the righteous by giving him according to his righteousness. When your people Israel are defeated before an enemy because they have sinned against you, and when they turn back to you and confess your name and pray and make supplication to you in this temple, then hear in heaven and forgive the sin of your people Israel and bring them back to the land which you gave to their fathers, when the heavens are shut up and there is no rain because they have sinned against you, when they pray toward this place and confess your name and turn from their sin because you afflict them, then hear in heaven and forgive the sin of your servants, your people Israel, that you may teach them the good way in which they should walk, and send rain on your land which you have given to your people as an inheritance. When there is famine in the land, pestilence or blight or mildew, locusts or grasshoppers, when their enemy besieges them in the land of their cities, whatever plague or whatever sickness there is, whatever prayer, whatever supplication is made by anyone or by all your people Israel, when each one knows the plague of his own heart. What a comment right there. When you realize the plague of your own heart. Just realize it's a plague. Your own heart's a plague. And spreads out his hands toward what? This temple. That's why I like to pray toward Yerushalayim, actually. Then hear in heaven your dwelling place and forgive and act and give to everyone according to all his ways whose heart you know. For you alone know the hearts of all the sons of men, that they may fear you all the days that they live in the land which you gave to their fathers, to our fathers. Moreover, concerning a foreigner, that's even if you're not Israelite, who is not of your people Israel, but has come from a far country for your name's sake, for they will hear of your great name and your strong hand, your outstretched arm, when he comes and prays toward this temple. Hear in heaven your dwelling place, and do according to all for which the foreigner calls to you, that all peoples of the earth may know your name and fear you, and do as do your people Israel, and that they may know that this temple which I have built is called by your name. Beautiful. Then they prayed to Yahweh toward the city which you have chosen, and the temple which I have built for your name, then hear in heaven their prayer and their supplication and maintain their cause when they sin against you, for there is no one who does not sin. He acknowledges this. issue that we've got here. And you become angry with them and deliver them into to the enemy and take them captive to the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet when they come to themselves in the land which they were carried captive and repent and make supplication to you in the land of those who took them captive, saying, we have sinned and done wrong, we have committed wickedness. He's already predicting Israel is going to go astray. And when they return to you with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies, who led them away captive, and pray toward you, toward the land, their land which you gave their fathers, the city which you have chosen, and temple which I have built for your name, then hear in heaven your dwelling place their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause, and forgive your people who have sinned against you, and all their transgressions which they have transgressed against you, and grant them compassion before those who took them captive, that they may have compassion on them, for they are your people and your inheritance, whom you brought out of Egypt, out of the iron furnace. What a comment there too. That your eyes may be opened toward the supplication of your servant and the supplication of your people Israel, to listen to them whenever they call to you. For you separated them from among all the peoples of the earth to be your inheritance, as you spoke by your servant Moshe when you brought our fathers out of Egypt, O Master Yahweh. So it was when Solomon had finished praying all this prayer and supplication to Yahweh. He arose from before the altar of Yahweh, from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread up to heaven. Then he stood and blessed all the assembly of Israel with a loud voice, saying, blessed be Yahweh, who has given rest to his people Israel according to all he promised. There has not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised through his servant Moshe. May Yahweh our Elohim be with us, as he was with our fathers. May he not leave us nor forsake us, that he may incline our hearts. He may incline our hearts to himself, to walk in all his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, which he commanded our fathers. And may these words of mine, with which I have made supplication before Yahweh, be near Yahweh or Elohim, day and night, that he may maintain, the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel, as each day may require, that all the peoples of the earth may know. Yahweh is Elohim, there is no other. Let your heart therefore be loyal to Yahweh or Elohim, to walk in his statutes and keep his commandments as at this day. Then the king of all and all of Israel with him offered sacrifices before Yahweh, and Solomon offered a sacrifice of peace offerings, which he offered to Yahweh 22,000 bulls, 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the children of Israel dedicated the house of Yahweh. I'd love to have just been there to watch that whole thing take place. On the same day, the king consecrated the middle of the court that was in front of the house of Yahweh, for there he offered burnt offerings, grain offerings, and the fat of peace offerings, because the bronze altar that was before Yahweh was too small to receive the burnt offerings, the grain offerings, and the fat of peace offerings. At that time Solomon held a feast, and all Israel with him, a great assembly, from the entrance of Hamath to the brook of Egypt before Yahweh or Elohim 7 days, and seven more days, a total of 14 days. I've had those thoughts before. We have the 7 day feast of tabernacles. Oh, I don't want it to end. Can we go another 7 days? And on the 8th day he sent the people away, and they blessed the king and went to their tents, joyful and glad of heart for all the good that Yahweh had done for his servant David and for Israel his people. And it came to pass, when Solomon had finished in building the house of Yahweh and the king's house and all Solomon's desire, which he wanted to do, that Yahweh appeared to Solomon the second time, as he appeared to him in Gibeon. And Yahweh said to him, I have heard your prayer and your supplication that you have made before me. I have consecrated this house which you've built to put my name there forever. My eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. That means always. That means even today. Now if you walk before me as your father David walked, in the integrity of your heart and uprightness, to do according to all I've commanded you, and if you keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of your kingdom over Israel forever, as I promised David your father, saying, you shall not fail to have a man on the throne of Israel. But if you or your sons at all turn from following me and do not keep my commandments and my statutes which I have set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will cut off Israel from the land which I have given them, and this house which I have consecrated for my name I will cast out of my sight. Israel will be a proverb and a byword among all the peoples. And as for this house which is exalted, everyone who passes by it will be astonished and will hiss and say, Why has Yahweh done this to this land, thus to this land and to this house? Then they will answer, Because they forsook Yahweh their Elohim, who brought them their fathers out of the land of Egypt, and embraced other gods, and worshipped them and served them. Therefore Yahweh has brought all this calamity on them. Pretty interesting. Another companion verse to these are in 2 Chronicles 7. I'd like to read this here. It says, When Solomon had finished praying, a fire came down from heaven, consumed the burnt offering and sacrifices, and the glory of Yahweh filled the temple, and the priests could not enter the house of Yahweh, because the glory of Yahweh had filled Yahweh's house. What a sight that had to be. When all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down, the glory of Yahweh on the temple, they bowed their faces to the ground on the pavement and worshipped and praised Yahweh, saying, For he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before Yahweh. King Solomon offered sacrifice 22,000 bulls, 120,000 sheep, as we saw earlier. So the king and the people of Israel dedicated the house of Elohim. And skip down here, verse 8, At that time Solomon kept the feast 7 days, all Israel with him, very great assembly. The eighth day they held a sacred assembly. They observed the dedication of the altar 7 days. On the 23rd day of the 7th month, he sent people away to their tents, joyful and glad of heart, for the good that Yahweh had done for David, for Solomon, and for his people, Israel. So this is the day after the last great day of the feast. And so this was going on during the Feast of Tabernacles. Verse 11, Thus Solomon finished the house of Yahweh, the king's house. Solomon successfully accomplished all that came into his heart to make in the house of Yahweh and his own house. And then, this is a companion verse here. And he says, I've heard your prayer, I have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When I shut up heaven, there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land and send pestilence among my people. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. And that's the context of that particular verse. A lot of people quote this verse in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, and this is actually talking about a response that Yahweh had to Solomon's prayer. And that's the context of it, the response that he had to Solomon's prayer. He says, Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayer made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. That means forever. It will never end. His eyes will always be there, and they still are to this day. In fact, it seems like the whole world, that's where they're looking to, is Israel. Lots of things seem to be the center of the earth in many ways. As for you, if you walk before me as your father David walked, and he goes on to give them that warning, we all know what happened to Solomon. He did not walk as his father David walked. And as a result, the kingdom was split, and it was pretty bad after that. Now, another example, 2 Kings 25:25, it happened in the 7th month. The 7th month, Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, son of Elishama, of the royal family, came with 10 men and struck and killed Gedaliah, the Jews, as well as the Chaldeans who were with him at Mizpah. And all the people, small and great, and the captains of the armies arose and went to Egypt, for they were afraid of the Chaldeans. Now, you can read more about this in Jeremiah 41. So, take a look there. This is the days of Hezekiah, and we're going to read from this chapter, in which we had the very tail end of the Passover celebration. It says here, now when all this was finished, guess I don't have it there, but here we go. Get to the right slide. Now when all this was finished, all Israel who were present went out to the cities of Judah and broke the sacred pillars in pieces, cut down the wooden images and threw down the high places and the altars from all Judah, Benjamin, Ephraim, and Manasseh, until they utterly destroyed them all. Then all the children of Israel returned to their own cities, every man to his possession. Hezekiah appointed the divisions of the priests and Levites according to their divisions, each man according to his service. The priests and Levites for burnt offerings and peace offerings to serve, give thanks, and to praise in the gates of the camp of Yahweh. The king also appointed a portion of his possessions for the burnt offerings, for the morning and evening burnt offerings, the burnt offerings for Sabbaths and new moons and set feasts, as it is written in the law of Yahweh. Moreover, he commanded the people who dwelt in Jerusalem to contribute support for the priests and the Levites, that they might devote themselves to the law of Yahweh. And the children of Israel and Judah who dwelt in the cities of Judah brought the tithe of oxen and sheep, also the tithe of the holy things, which were consecrated to Yahweh, their Elohim, they laid in heaps. In the third month, they began laying them in heaps, and they finished in the seventh month. That's when it ended. So, and then when Hezekiah and the leaders came and saw the heaps, they blessed Yahweh and his people Israel. These are all seventh month events that took place in Scripture. Also, Ezra chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, it says, when the seventh month had come, and the children of Israel were in the cities, the people gathered together as one man to Jerusalem. Then Yeshua, the son of Yosadak, his brethren the priests, Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, and his brethren, arose and built the altar of the Elohim of Israel to offer burnt offerings on it, as it is written in the law of Moshe, the man of Elohim. Though fear had come upon them because of the people of those countries, they set the altar on its basis. They offered burnt offerings on it to Yahweh, both the morning and evening burnt offerings. They also kept the Feast of Tabernacles. There we go. As it is written, and offered daily burnt offerings in the number required by ordinance for each day. Afterwards, they offered the regular burnt offering and those for new moons and for all the appointed feasts of Yahweh that were consecrated, and those of everyone who willingly offered a freewill offering to Yahweh. From the first day of the seventh month, they began to offer burnt offerings to Yahweh, though the foundation of the temple had not been laid. They also gave money to the masons and carpenters and food, drink, and oil to the people of Sidon and Tyre to bring cedar logs from Lebanon to the sea to Joppa according to the permission which they had from Cyrus, king of Persia. Also, Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 1 through 2, it says, all the people gathered together as one man in the open square that was in front of the water gate, and they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moshe, which Yahweh commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men and women, and all who could hear with understanding on the first day of the seventh month. That's tonight. And that's Yom Teruah. Then he read from it in the open square that was in front of the water gate from morning until midday. So tomorrow morning will be the anniversary of that time when this biblical event took place. And those who could understand and the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. So Ezra the scribe stood on a platform of wood which they had made for the purpose, and beside him at his right hand stood Matithiah, Shema, Ananiah, Uriah, Hilkiah, Maaseiah, and at his left hand Padiah, Mishael, Malchiah, Hashum, Hashbadana, Zechariah, and Meshulam. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Oh, I love that. I just love that. All the people stood up when he opened the book. People stand up and listen. And Ezra blessed Yahweh, the great Elohim, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, while lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshipped Yahweh with their faces to the ground. They're excited to hear the word, I think. Also, Yeshua, Bani, Sherebiah, Jamin, Achub, Shabbatai, Hodiah, Maaseiah, Kalita, Azariah, Yozabad, Hanan, Peliah, and the Levites helped the people to understand the Torah, the law, and the people stood in their place, so they read distinctly from the book and the law of Elohim and gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading. And the word reading is Mikra, from which we get Mikra Kodesh, or Holy Convocation. We're supposed to have a holy convocation on this day, a holy reading, holy calling out. And Nehemiah, who was a governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, the Levites who taught all the people, said to all the people, this day is holy to Yahweh or Elohim, do not mourn nor weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. They were upset with themselves. And he's saying, don't even do that. Now you think it might be a good thing that they were, you know, weeping over their own sin. He says, no, this is a holy day. Don't mourn, don't weep. Well, how are they going to find joy when they realize they failed Yahweh so much? They can find joy in the fact he's given them grace. He said, go your way. Eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. That means you give to the poor. For this day is holy to our Yahweh. Do not sorrow, for the joy of Yahweh is your strength. The joy of Yahweh is your strength. That is what's going on. You know, does Scripture say there's joy in the presence of Yahweh and of all the angels when one sinner repents? And so he's just calling in to tap into that spiritual joy that Yahweh was being manifested in heaven, right? And don't have to weep anymore. You can rejoice. Your names are written in heaven. You have salvation because you have repented, because you have turned back to him. He's encouraging them to trust in his grace so much, they can actually have that joy of Yahweh in them. Beautiful. So the Levites quieted all the people, saying, be still, for the day is holy. Do not be grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and drink, to send portions and rejoice greatly, because they understood, just to understand the words that were declared to them. For us to have understanding of Yahweh's word is a reason to rejoice greatly, right? Hallelujah. Now on the second day, the heads of the fathers' houses of all the people, the priests and Levites, were gathered to Ezra the scribe in order to understand the words of the law. And they found written in the law which Yahweh had commanded by Moshe that the children of Israel should dwell in booths during the feast of the seventh month. That's coming up here in 2 weeks. And that they should announce and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, go out to the mountain and bring olive branches, branches of olive trees, myrtle branches, palm branches, branches of leafy trees, to make booths as it is written. And the people went out and brought them and made themselves booths, each one on the roof of his house or in their courtyards or in the courts of the gates of the courts of the house of Elohim, and the open square of the water gate, and in the open square of the gate of Ephraim. And so the whole assembly of those who had returned from the captivity made booths and sat under the booths, for since the days of Joshua, son of Nun, until that day the children of Israel had not done so. And there was very great gladness also day by day, from the first day to the last day. He read from the book of the law of Elohim. That's something we're going to do every day at the feast. And they kept the feast 7 days, and on the eighth day there was a sacred assembly according to the prescribed manner. Praise Yahweh. Awesome. That's what we need to do. Jeremiah 28:15. Now the prophet Jeremiah said to Hananiah the prophet, hear now, Hananiah, Yahweh has not sent you, but you make this people trust in a lie. Therefore, thus says Yahweh, I will cast you from the face of the earth. This year you shall die because you have taught rebellion against Yahweh. And so Hananiah the prophet died the same year in the seventh month. That's when that false prophet came up and contradicted Jeremiah. You know, had because Jared and predicted that this yoke of Babylon was going to be broken in like 2 years. You know, I've kind of found a lot of times false prophets set dates, you know, within 2 years. But I've noticed Yahweh doesn't usually set dates, although he did with Judah in the exile of 70 years. But, you know, Hananiah claimed he was right. Jeremiah claimed he was right. But, nope, he was teaching rebellion against Yahweh, Hananiah was. And no one had to wait too long to find out who was the true prophet, right? And that was Jeremiah. Also, in Haggai 2 verses 1 through 3, in the seventh month, on the 21st day, 21st of the month, 21st of the month, that's an interesting date, isn't it? During the Feast of Tabernacles. Hallelujah. And as the day before the last great day. Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people, saying, who is left among you who saw this temple in its former glory? And how do you see it now in comparison with it? Is this not in your eyes as nothing? Yet now be strong, Zerubbabel, says Yahweh, and be strong, Yahshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and be strong, all you people of the land, says Yahweh, and work. For I am with you, says Yahweh of hosts, according to the word I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. For thus says Yahweh of hosts once more, it is a little while I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and dry land, I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations. And I will fill this temple with glory, says Yahweh of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, says Yahweh of hosts. And the glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says Yahweh of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, says Yahweh of hosts. So that's a predicted prophecy in Haggai, and we all know that it was Yahshua who ended up visiting that temple, and it was, therefore, in a greater condition of glory. Hallelujah. Also, Book of John, chapter 7, verses 1 through 3. After these things, Yahshua walked in Galilee, for he did not want to walk in Judea, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. His brothers therefore said to him, depart from here and go to Judea, that your disciples may also see the works that you are doing. For no one does anything in secret while he himself seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world. For even his brothers did not believe in him. Then Yahshua said to them, my time has not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me, because I testify of it that its works are evil. You go up to this feast. I'm not yet going to this feast, for my time is not yet fully come. When he said these things to them, he remained in Galilee. But when his brothers had gone up, then he also went up to the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. Then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, where is he? And there was much complaining among the people concerning him. Some said, he is good. Others said, no, on the contrary, he deceives the people. However, no one spoke openly of him, for fear of the Jews. Now about the middle of the feast, Yahshua went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, how does this man know letters, having never studied? Yahshua answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me. If anyone wants to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from Elohim or whether I speak on my own authority. This is a key verse right here. If you really want to know Yahweh's will, you're going to know whether it is true doctrine or not. And I think the same is true today. Yahweh's going to show you, because those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be filled. It's a promise. He who speaks from himself seeks his own glory. I think too many of our sermons nowadays are men speaking from themselves. But he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moshe give you the law, yet none of you keeps the law? Remember this, Yahshua said, none of you keeps the law. They were not law keepers, they were lawbreakers. Why do you seek to kill me? See, they were murderous men, bloodthirsty men. The people answered and said, you have a demon. Who is seeking to kill you? Yahshua answered and said to them, I did one work and you all marvel. Moshe therefore gave you circumcision, not that it's from Moshe, but from the fathers. And you circumcise a man on the Sabbath, if a man receives circumcision on the Sabbath, so that the law of Moshe should not be broken. Are you angry with me because I made a man completely well on the Sabbath? Do not judge according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. But look, I guess I missed verse 25. I'll read verse 25 for you just a minute. Now some of them from Jerusalem said, is this not he whom they seek to kill? But look, he speaks boldly. Oops, where am I here? He speaks boldly, and they say nothing to him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is truly the Messiah? However, we know where this man is from, but when this Messiah comes, no one knows where he's from. Then Yahshua cried out as he taught in the temple, saying, you both know me, and you know where I am from, and I have not come of myself, but he who sent me is true, whom you do not know. But I know him, for I am from him, and he sent me. Therefore they sought to take him, yet no one laid a hand on him, because his hour had not yet come. And many of the people believed in him, and said, when the Messiah comes, will he do more signs than these, which this man has done? The Pharisees heard the crowd murmuring these things concerning him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. And Yahshua said to them, I shall be with you a little while longer, and then I go to him who sent me. You will seek me, and you will not find me. Where I am, you cannot come. The Jews then said among themselves, where does he intend to go that we shall not find him? Does he intend to go to the dispersion among the Greeks and teach the Greeks? What is this thing he said? You will seek me and not find me, and where I am, you cannot come. On the last day, that great day of the feast, that is the last great day, this year corresponding to October 13th, Yahshua stood and cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Yahshua was not yet glorified. Therefore, many from the crowd, when they heard this saying, said, truly this is the prophet. Others said, this is the Messiah. Some said, will the Messiah come out of Galilee? Has not the scripture said, Messiah comes from the seed of David and from the town of Bethlehem, where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him. Now, some of them wanted to take him, but no one laid hands on him. Then the officers came to the chief priests and Pharisees, who said to them, why have you not brought him? The officers answered, no man ever spoke like this man. Then the Pharisees answered them, are you also deceived? Have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed in him? But this crowd does not know the law is accursed. Nicodemus, he who came to Yahshua by night, being one of them, said to them, does our law judge a man before it hears him and knows what he is doing? They answered and said to him, are you also from Galilee? Look, search and look, for no prophet has arisen out of Galilee. Now, if they'd only done what Nicodemus had suggested, hear him and know what he's doing, they would have found out he was born in Bethlehem. Now, after this is the story of the woman caught in adultery. It's questionable as to whether that story belongs in that book of John, because it's not found in the most ancient copies of John. In fact, nothing earlier than the 5th century does that particular story mention. But, I mean, the story may itself be true, but maybe it doesn't belong in that spot in John. Anyway, another scripture is actually speaking of a future time, a prediction of a future day when the entire world will keep the Feast of Tabernacles. It's in Zechariah chapter 14, verse 16. So come to pass that everyone who is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the king, Yahweh of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whichever of the families of the earth do not come up to Jerusalem to worship the King, Yahweh of hosts, on them there will be no rain. If the family of Egypt will not come up, that means Gentiles, right? And enter in, they will have no rain. They shall receive the plague with which Yahweh strikes the nations, as to Gentile nations, who do not come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt, the punishment of all the nations that do not come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This is a future world event occurring in the seventh month of Yahweh's calendar. Now think about that for a minute. There's a couple things we can get from this verse. Number one, the feasts apparently have not been abolished at the cross. They weren't nailed to the cross, apparently. Otherwise, why are people keeping them? This is an event that's never happened. It's a futuristic event. And we also see it's not a Jewish feast. It's a feast that when Yahweh's will is finally done on earth as it is in heaven, every family on the planet will keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And so, just as Yahweh cannot die, and neither can his Torah die, right? And it's not dead, it's completely alive, and it's supposed to be living right here in us. If the New Covenant promises are that the law of Yahweh abides in us, what does it say? Your word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Well, if his word's in our heart, then why is it, isn't it supposed to reflect on the outer layer through obedience to that word? I certainly hope so. And I hope that's true of all of us. And this is a commandment. And so if we choose not to keep the Feast of Tabernacles, we are transgressing the law. 1 John 3:4 says that sin is a transgression of the law. The book of Romans teaches, I would not know sin except by the law, and that by the law is the knowledge of sin. And the law tells me, keep the Feast of Tabernacles, and this is a feast for Gentiles and Jews alike, and that when Yahweh's will is finally done on the earth, we're all going to keep it. What's that say about us? I think it says we ought to keep the Feast of Tabernacles, and we are Yahweh's dwelling place right now, where two or three are gathered in his name. He is there among us. His name is written on our foreheads. And so his name abides right here in us. And we can gather and keep these feasts and learn about the different events that took place in the seventh month. The first event that's commanded to be observed is tonight, a day of rest, going into tomorrow, Yom Teruah. And then the next feast is going to be the Day of Atonement. And that's a day of fasting. And then the Feast of Tabernacles coming up the night of October 5th going into October 6th. And we're going to go all the way to the 15th because the 13th is the last great day and the 14th is a Sabbath, a weekly Sabbath. And so we get an extra day. Praise Yahweh. Well, I hope this has been a blessing to you, and you are more informed as to the blessing of the seventh month and the feast therein, and the different things that took place in Scripture. And, you know, if we find ourselves in a place where we're being convicted to keep these festivals, then do your best. And there is a full study. It's linked from the front page of Eliyahu.com on how to keep the feasts, and toward the end of that study is the step-by-step instructions on how to observe these festivals. And also, Isaiah 66:23 says, in 22:23, that one Sabbath to another, one new moon to another, all flesh will come and worship Yahweh. And so here we are, a new moon day, also a feast day. I say we ought to worship Yahweh and shout and praise. And if you got one of these shofars, then offer up a shofar blast to Yahweh. And that's how we're going to close out today's broadcast. Hallelujah. Hey! Hallelujah. Blessed be Yahweh. Heavenly Father, Yahweh, thank you for this reminder of our Savior's return, this reminder that all kingdoms of this world belong to you. Thank you, Father Yahweh, for your loving kindness and your truth, your awesome grace, without which we would be nothing. And we just praise you and thank you for this day and for this glorious feast, and help our minds to be set on the things that speak to the coming of Yahshua HaMashiach, and be prepared spiritually, physically, emotionally, in every way for his return. We look forward to it, Father, and we praise you and thank you. In Yahshua HaMashiach's name we pray, for truly yours is the kingdom and power and glory forever, and all praise, honor, and worship belongs to you, Yahweh Eloheinu, Yahweh our mighty one, forever and ever. In Yahshua's great name we pray. Amen.